This is CCC, Chats with the Children's Rights Commissioner. Welcome back to Arix Radio, listener. My name is Tariq, and it's so good to be back here on air. Unfortunately, I'm not in studio today. I am broadcasting from home via Zoom. It's something new that we are trying out, so please do bear with us. But as always on Arix Radio, we always have a jam-packed show for you, and we have something special today. We actually have a brand new show, which is called the CCC. So Arix Radio has a partnership with the Children's Rights Commissioner for the Western Cape. She's been interviewed on Arix Radio a few times and runs a government monitors program, of which some Arix Radio reporters are a part of. So today is the first broadcast of CCC, which is Chats with the Children's Commissioner, where she, along with a few government monitors, speak about a specific theme relating to children. And today we kickstart this program by talking about learning from home during the pandemic. So don't forget to stay tuned for the interview with the Children's Commissioner. We'll shed more light on this topic. And also don't forget to interact with us on social media, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We are at RX Radio SA. And on WhatsApp, we are 060-621-8048. That's 060-621-8048. Send us a message or a voice note and let us know how learning from home was for you. But before we get into the interview, let's play you some sweet tracks. So here's Levitating by Dua Lipa featuring DaBaby.
Daar is 'n spesiale persoon in ons provinsie wat die regte van alle kinders beskerm.
Sy word die kinderkommissaris genoem. Sy het superpowers ontvang om haar werk te doen.
Haar eerste superpower is om te kyk na wat die regering doen om alle kinders se lewens te verbeter.
Sy kyk na skole, klinieke, sport en projekte om kinders te help om veilig te wees.
Sy wil ook verstaan wat kinders veiliger sal laat voel.
Sy wil weet waaroor kinders bekommerd is. Haar derde superpower is om almal te vertel hoe wonderlik kinders is.
En dat ons hulle moet waardeer.
Sy vra vir groot mense om te luister na wat kinders dink en voel.
Die kinderkommissaris is daar om na kinders se advies te luister wanneer niemand anders na hulle wil luister nie.
RX Radio. RX Radio Rocks.
Feel boy, baby, do a leap and make them dance when they come on. Everybody looking for a dance, throw the run on.
If you wanna run away with me, I know a galaxy and I can take you for a ride. I had a premonition that we fell into a rhythm where the music don't stop for life. Glitter in the sky, glitter in my eyes, shining just the way I like. If you're feeling like you need a little bit of company, you met me at the perfect time. You want me, I want you, baby, my sugar boo.
I'm one of the greatest, ain't no debating on it. I'm still levitated, I'm heavily medicated. Ironic, I gave him love and they end up hating on me. She told me she loved me and she been waiting. Been fighting hard for your love and I'm running thin on my patience. Needing someone to hug, even took it back to the basics. You see what you got me out here doing? Might have threw me off, but can't nobody stop the movement. Let's go. Left foot, right foot, levitating. Pop stars, do a leap with the baby. I had to lace my shoes for all the blessings I was chasing. If I ever slip, I fall into a better situation. So catch up, go put some cheese on it. Get out and get your bread up. They always leave when you fall, but you run together. Weight of the world on my shoulders, I kept my head up. Now baby, stand up, cause girl, you...
Welcome back to RX Radio, everybody. You just listened to Levitating by Dua Lipa and DaBaby. And as mentioned before in the introduction today, we have Children's Rights Commissioner Christina Nomdu, who is with us right now in studio via Zoom. As mentioned before, she's been a champion for RX Radio for many years. And today, we'll talk to her about CCC, the government monitors, and today's topic, which is learning from home. Welcome back to RX Radio, Christina. How are you doing today?
I'm great. Thank you for having me back.
I know that early on you said that one's going to buy a fan, you know?
Yes, people say they hear stories about me. I hope it's mostly good.
So what exactly is the Children's Commissioner and how is this role being under lockdown?
So the Children's Commissioner was appointed on the 1st of June of 2020. So I am in office now for almost like 8 months. I am the first ever Children's Commissioner in the history of the country. We have never had a Children's Commissioner that works outside of the government system to have oversight over government. So I watch whether government programs and policies and laws really meet children's rights. And I only work in the Western Cape, and I only work on the, with the departments of education, health, social development, sports and culture. So I started on the first day of school in the Western Cape last year, and it was hectic, man, because people just didn't know what life was going to be like under lockdown, under the restrictions. How are we going to be able to engage with each other and with children? But you know, you have to go with the flow. You can't let these things defeat you. You have to find ways of connecting with people. And fortunately for us, we have the lovely social media platforms, and it would, you know, surprise you to know that I probably never met most of the children that I talk with on a daily basis that work with my office. But they started with me, a group of them. I always give credit to the Alsace River High girls as the first child government monitors. You will know that they wrote a letter to the president, actually, to say, we can't study under lockdown. We can't study under COVID. Please start the school year in 2021. And so they came to my attention, and I've been working with them even before I became the commissioner. And so on the day I became the commissioner, I said to them, guys, come and work as advisors to my office.
What are the government monitors?
You know, I made this up, right? I just made up the term child government monitors. This is what they can do when there's a new office. So, you know, child participation rights is a very important part of child rights. You know, children are supposed to be involved in every decision that affects their lives. And if this is an office for the Commissioner for Children, then children surely should be part of the office. And so I said, well, I'm going to bring on board some child government monitors. Why I call them child government monitors is my role is to monitor and investigate government. And I can't speak for children. I say I'm slightly too old. Now, only slightly, no? I'm slightly too old for this. So, and children really need to speak for themselves. They have their own voice, they have their own issues, they have their own reality. They are the experts in their own lives. So I said, you know, come on board, guys, whoever wants to nominate themselves, children's organizations who want to nominate people. I approach certain organizations, for example, Triangle Project and Disabled Children's Action Group to have a diversity of children who would be part of the office. And then we meet, every Friday evening, we've made a date with ourselves, 5 to 7, we meet on a WhatsApp group and we chat about children's rights, we chat about how government works, we chat about topical issues in the society, and we see what are the violations of children's rights and what can we bring about as a solutions to some of those violations that happens. So I very happily engage with them almost daily, even outside of that group, because there's always something happening in the lives of children.
Why are children's voices so important for the work that you do?
I have really enjoyed working with them. You know, I've really enjoyed engaging with children because I think I need to be connected to their realities. And the only way to be connected with their realities is to be embedded in their lives. So you have to have this kind of openness, informality, chommy chommy talking, because, you know, children don't like formal and yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. They call me Tina or Christina. And I insist on that because it brings about this kind of ethos of equality. And that's my main reason for profiling children and their voices. I really want to overturn the power structures in society. See, I have an evil plan. I want to overturn, deconstruct the power in society so that children also have an equal say in what happens.
What do you think about children going back to school? And aside from COVID safety precautions, what do you think should be done to ensure the schooling goes well?
The first thing I want them to do for teachers is to hold a counseling session. Teachers and every one of us has experienced devastating loss in our families during this time. And how do we expect teachers to care for children when they themselves are broken? So I want a Care for the Carers program. Immediately when they open on the 1st of February, the Department of Education should have debriefing for teachers and should give teachers the opportunity to start to heal from some of the pain that they are experiencing so that they can help our children heal from the grief that they will be coming with on the 15th of February.
You are listening to RX Radio.
For and by children.
RX Radio. RX Radio rocks.
Today with me, we have the government monitors. Can you guys please introduce yourself and tell us your name, age, and the school you attend?
Hi, everyone. My name is Lucanio Sunyamba from Rhodes High School, currently 17, turning 18 this year. Yeah, that's pretty much about me, guys. Hey.
Hi, everyone. My name is Christopher Claydance. I'm currently 17 years old, and I attend Wyman Boys High School.
Hi, everyone. My name is Amahle Somo, and I went to Schoensbury Secondary School last year. I was in matric, and I am excited to be part of this, and I'm 18.
Hi, everyone. I'm Sadi Daniels, age 16. I attend Vista Nova. I'm in grade 10.
Lucanio, why are you part of the government monitors?
Yeah, actually, I was part of the Nelson Mandela Children's Parliament. And then from there, Christina asked for volunteers who was volunteering to want to become a part of this group. And of course, I took the opportunity and met a wonderful person. She actually joined us. And now we're actually now voicing our voices, you know, getting what we're going through out there, you know.
Christopher, what exactly about politics caught your attention?
So, I mean, I've always been interested in politics for quite a while, but if I had to narrow it down to some little minor things, that also links well to being a government monitor, was national youth development policy. And it was definitely something that was a huge lack of implementation and poor execution that caught my eye about this policy. And there were so many policies before the current one that there were things that were supposed to be put into place, and this was supposed to happen, that was supposed to happen, but the youth weren't educated on that or made aware of that. And the fact that it wasn't happening when it was promised became such a bigger problem. So I think what caught my attention was a chance for youth intervention within the government and within politics for us to put our voice out there and to actually try and create change in the government and in politics.
Sadiq, why do you love politics?
You know, Sadiq, I come out the very historical area where Comrade Ashley Creel came out of, and my daddy was also an apartheid activist, and I just love and debate. I hate poverty, and I want to make all the areas on the Cape Flats a poverty-free area.
Amahle, how is your experience been while being a part of the government monitors?
For me, it has been an amazing experience because I learned about a lot of things that I never learned at school. So this opportunity that I got actually taught me how to think out of the box, actually to hear about other people, to learn and want to know more what's happening around the country, and also what do kids have to say about certain things that they're not really up for and are not really given the platform to talk about. So this has given me like an opportunity to be part of everything and talk about, experience everything and voice my voice.
Sadiq, why is it so important for the government to listen to children?
It's important for the government to know where we are, where the teenagers hang out, and what our capabilities and what do we need. So it's important for the government to be involved with us.
Lucanio, the same question for you.
Yeah, it's very important actually for the government to actually know what we're going through and what affects us, because it's their job to provide for us in terms of the whole country, etc. But it's really important for children, because children at this time has been undermined in terms of like the adults will represent you and stuff like that. So in this case, it's very vital, because what we go through is not understood. Due to that, during the lockdown, and many children have gone through due to depression. Depression due to that, the isolation from their friends, from the social group, there's no that support anymore. So these things have to be voiced out, and therefore the children can be free to know that, okay, my concerns, my worries are heard, so that I can know that there's something that's being done for me there.
Christopher, what were some of the challenges you faced while being at home?
There were many. We're gonna get that aside. But for me, it was the lack of structure. You know, I come from a very busy school and a very busy life where I'm constantly doing something, and time for myself is something that's very rare. And from going from all of that to the next day where from midnight, not allowed to leave your house, you're stuck inside school, everything is from the same room, you're relaxed, you chill, you be yourself in. So the lack of structure from going to having classes at this time to that time, maybe getting homework, maybe getting an assignment, then getting that assignment taken away from you was a big struggle for me. And as well, not being able to do this with friends. I mean, friends is a big part of growing up in your life, and not being able to go through all of that with your friends was a big impact for me. You know, having to connect with them through WhatsApp or Zoom calls or, you know, all the other social media applications that are out there. And also at the same time, your friends go to different schools, and all the schools are doing different things. You know, they were getting different assignments to what we were doing there. Some schools were way more progressed in terms of learning at home than other schools. So it was a big complicated situation mess that was going on. And none of us really knew what was actually happening or what was the next step forward. So for me, it was definitely the lack of structure and not being able to go through it face-to-face with friends.
We have been talking about the struggles faced while under lockdown. Was there anything you enjoyed while being at home?
And that's pretty much hard. Due to that, I'm a productive person and just sitting down and doing nothing. Well, okay, let's say having actually to relax and just be peaceful in a state where, like, there's no rush, there's no bothering, there's like there's absolutely nothing to do, and you just sit down. Like, it feels like early retirement, in other words. You know, I felt like I was retired for some reason, and like my life like put a stop, and like, okay, yeah, that's to me was like, yeah, that's to me was the best thing ever. Just to feel like I was retired, like there was nothing else for me to do in this world. Yeah, but it was hard though. It was hard.
Now the government monitors will share their experiences while learning from home.
Of course. So, like I said in my previous question, where I talk about coming from a school that's always busy and it just never goes to sleep, day or night, we're still getting our emails, we're still having notifications telling us about tests, to being put into lockdown, even when it comes to school, was very difficult. And our school always survived. There's never a day where you're not laughing until you can't breathe anymore, or you having like cheering assemblies, or it's always a vibe and everyone's always hugging and handshaking. It's such a place of like friendship and like friendliness and happiness. And then all of that is just gone completely. So for me, like trying to create this vibe at home and trying to still keep those relationships that the school has over the internet was very difficult. But what I said in my write-up was saying that we had to learn to adapt to learn. So it was a whole new thing of learning. We had to adapt to learn online, adapt to teach ourselves. You know, we had all the documents and stuff that we needed in my situation, but no one teaches to us really. And I'm the type of student that needs someone to shout at me if I get distracted constantly. Or if I need that structure, I need to be in my uniform, because if I'm not, I'm sitting half button up shirt so they can see my face and my button up shirt, and the other half is in pajamas or underwear, depending on the situation. So, I mean, it was definitely that whole idea of learning to adapt and adapt to learn, but it was very difficult. And I think it needed some time for everyone to figure out what are we going to do now in this situation. And hopefully this year's learning under lockdown can be a lot better for a lot of people.
Lucanio, please share your experience working from home.
Being at home during school time, you know, it was very difficult. I'm a type of person that when I'm learning, I have to listen. I'm an oral learner. So when I absorb information, I use it through listening. And also with not having the ability to have Wi-Fi, you know, have to use data, it was very difficult because I couldn't go to YouTube and access all the other stuff and the resources for learning. So now I had a difficult part in teaching myself. where I have to constantly focus and have to use the other source of my other skills. It was very difficult, but mostly what really caught me was that the atmosphere of learning was not here at all. Where at school, where at school you have that environment of atmosphere, like, okay, we're learning now. There's this teacher in front of us and you feel that, okay, you're focused, you ain't bored. But now at home, like there's no sense of motivation to saying like, guys, work now. So there's no push. So that was also difficult. And also, yeah, it was really, really difficult for myself. I had to really like tap into like something deeper. But yeah.
Amakhli, please share your experience while working from home.
For me, having to adapt into this whole new and different way of learning was so, it happened so sudden and actually so unexpectedly. So of course it came with a lot of confusion and fear. And also being in an Afrikaans school with only being provided an English textbook to help you, it actually doubled my, you know, my workload. It made it hard for me. And I had a lot of pressure because of course I was in matric, so there was plenty of work, of course. And it was actually so overwhelming for me. And I was also struggling with the language barrier. But also at some point, I also felt like I wanted to repeat because we're given an option, you know, you can repeat to the following year. But I was like, no, let me just push. It was a tough year for everyone, but, you know, I just had to push myself. But also I was quite motivated because when I went back to school, you know, most of the times the COVID rules and regulations were, you know, were followed and everything. The teachers were quite friendly at times. So sometimes it helped and a lot of people were struggling. So, you know, we could have relatable stories, you know, to push me into finishing my matric year. So that's it. And I hope that the class of 2021 has a better experience and everything else.
Sadiq, please share your experience while working from home.
My learning experience was very difficult because I don't like Zoom classes. And although I am a brother and sister, it wasn't the same like sitting in the class and hearing the straight from the teacher's mouth. You had to go on by yourself and to find your own way and how to think it in your head. And it was very difficult for me because I need to be in the class and hear from the teacher's mouth.
Well, thank you everybody for joining me here today. You know, I feel for the issues that you guys went through last year, and I just want to take my hat off for you guys for overcoming those hardships and working with Christina to try to help the class of 2020. I can definitely see the passion that everybody has and the quality that each of you guys possess as individuals to be one day great leaders in this country. So all the best, Christina. Thanks for working alongside these young people, you know, just helping them, making sure their voices are heard. And yeah. Thank you everybody for joining us on the first episode of CCC. Until next time, my name is Tariq and I'm out.
Kukho umntu okhethiweyo kwiphondo lethu ekufuneka akhusele amalungelo abantwana. Igama lakhe ngumkomishinari wabantwana.
Unikiwe imvume yokwenza umsebenzi wakhe wokukhusela abantwana. Okokuqala unamandla okukhangela kwaye afumane ingxaki kurhulumente ezimnqandayo ekuphuculeni ubomi babantwana bonke. Ajonge izikolo, iikliniki, ezemidlalo kunye neeprojekti zokunceda abantwana bakhuseleke. Okwesibini, unamandla okuqokelelela ubungqina bokuncedisana ekubazeni ngcono abantwana. Sifunde futhi sazi ukuba abantwana bakhathazwa yintoni.
Igunya lakhe lesithathu kukwazi futhi afundise wonke umntu indlela abathandeka ngayo abantwana. Nendlela ekufuneka baxatyiswe ngayo, ucela abantu abadala bazimamele izimvo neembono zabantwana.
Umkomishinari wabantwana ukholwa ukumamela abantwana xa kungekho namnye umntu ofuna ukubamamela.
RX Radio.